And good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome here to this evening's Business and Economic Zone. Well, it is a Wednesday, and the Wednesday does come with some odd weather, especially in the capital, because for some reason now it's starting to rain. It didn't look like it would, but it now is. I love it. I hope you do, wherever you find yourself, and that it's always a welcome, occurrence. With regards to some rain and some cool air that comes with it. But we are finishing up with our aviation discussion tonight. We are actually ending it off in that regard because it's important to note here, guys, that there are challenges that we have not looked at with regards to the aviation discussion for the past two evenings. The specific one ending off on the World Economic for tonight, we're ending it off on the World Economic Forum's take, that being the Group Chief Executive, Hassan El-Houri, from National Aviation Services. And this is from his take from July of this year. But specifically, he started it off with regards to that the African continent is more willing, more interested in connecting with the rest of the world than rather with itself. So, challenges to overcome. And this is where we get into the nitty-gritties. In 2019, the continent had 352 commercial airports with 198 airlines. And at the Air Transport Action Group, the ATAG, that's according to their statistics. That's of 2019 still. Obviously now we are in 2022, so Air Namibia would not be there anymore. Had being the active word. And that only 33 Africa-based carriers had received airline ratings or had received safety ratings from the online resource airlineratings.com. And at that, only 8 had received the group's highest rating for that matter. Now, if we have to understand airlineratings.com's importance in that, it is that first and foremost, consumers want to see what does airlines ratings actually, where do airlines rate themselves? What are they all about? How do they function? Are there any safety components to look at? The works. Now, this specific online function is that it's the only place in the world where you get airline safety ratings in one place. That's according to this website itself, airlineratings.com. And they take a look at these scenarios. So, they also have various other kinds of industry-related news on their platform as a hub. So they also try to serve you with up-to-date news and various industry-related discussion points. But this is now something geared towards consumers. So, tourists, which are one of the major consumers, or air travelers, let me rather use a all-encompassing terminology, air travelers, because you can be even a diplomat, a politician, a business person, a tourist. You could even work for the airline itself, and you are making use of the facility, i.e. being ferried up and down, the continent or all around the world. But this is where we get into the key discussion. Users of this air travel, they want to know which airlines give them a sense of consumerist extensions, meaning what does it feel like flying with this airline or with that airline. I think you guys have all seen those ads as well. For people that have watched the international news platforms like CNN, Al Jazeera, BBC, The Works, where you find Turkish Airlines here, Emirates Airlines there, what's the other one's name? Qatar, or Qatar, as its real name is to be pronounced. Emirates, the other one's name is... I keep forgetting the other one's name. But those, they constantly advertise on these big news platforms, international news platforms, because they know that predominantly you find business people, business personalities, political, diplomatic, the works, they would be watching these platforms. And since they would be watching these platforms, you can convey the services that your airline gives. Thus, they would also extend or be part and parcel of these airline and safety ratings, you know, functions that comes through from this specific independent platform known as Airline Ratings. So, it's all about airline safety, you know, all and air travel safety components and all that. Now, according to Airline Ratings, it's all about providing transparent, you know, their ratings are supposed to be designed to be transparent in order to encourage and promote safety throughout the airline industry for all passengers. So it is geared towards the tourist, no, not the tourist, towards the consumer, the user. But that is but just one function that El Houri makes use of or illustrates. He also notes that unfortunately that the pandemic had isolated the African continent and weakened critical links between neighboring countries. This has happened. This has happened with the major confusion happening in OR Tambo Airport recently this year, I think it was June, July, where in the rapid development with regards to electronic screening or monitoring mechanisms being used in order to ensure that you are safe to enter the South African border or the South African space from the airport itself, causing major confusions for Namibian travelers at OR Tambo. Ultimately, onto that is also that businesses were cut off from key markets. Consumers had lost access to goods because soaring ocean freight rates prompted carriers to skip African port calls and actually divert ships to more profitable Asia-US routes. Now, that is part and parcel of the overall supply chain issues that had emanated since 2020. I did give you the one example in terms of where one of the international economists had explained, especially that at the end of 2019, you had a whole bunch, in February 2020, you had a whole bunch of international maritime or, you know, freight, ocean freight. And most of these ships, these tankers, were stuck on two ends of the international market. The ones that were full of products to deliver were stuck in China. No, sorry, we're not stuck. They were stuck in the United States. The ones that were aimed to pick up freight and goods were stuck in China. So you had key trade lanes, key shipping lanes, virtually being empty with most of said cargo and freighters or freight liners stuck on two opposite ends, the delivery end and the pickup end. So it was obviously going to create, what do you call it? Shortages. Shortages in supply. Shortages in picking up, in time schedules. Shortages in terms of consumers receiving their goods at the end. Shortages in terms of producers not having the required level of input components of input resources in order to produce said goods that needed to be shipped. Now, that supply chain discussion, guys, will still continue, or the headaches will still continue into the near future. It will not end. It won't. Because to try and place the Ukraine conflict on, or the reason that the Ukraine conflict exists on, the supply chain issues, it's not an excuse. It actually doesn't fly. Because there were a lot of movements already happening internationally that impacted said supply chain, or actually the cause, or was, well, were one of the major causes of the international supply chain platform. That is but one that I mentioned. The ongoing scenario is still the US-China trade war. It is still the US-China trade war. And it is already a good, I think, a good 7 or 8 years old now. It's a good 7 or 8 years old now. It is now being championed by the third US president in a row. Now, as I mentioned, Africa does not currently look like a hub in terms of a connection hub between various international markets. North America and Europe speak directly to each other. They trade directly with each other. North America and the rest of Asia talk directly to each other and also trade directly with each other. North America and South America the same. South America and Europe the same. Europe and the Middle East, Europe and the Far East, the same. Oceania and the Far East, Oceania and the North America, the same. So do you see, in terms of that connection routine, Africa is being kept out? It is. Now, I must highlight, although I might be signaling towards an event that's coming up in November, I was actually reminded about it earlier today by a friend of mine, is that there will be an aviation forum happening in November. And it was, I just scrolled through it earlier, but just before I came now to the program, just once again to resuscitate my memory in terms of seeing what they're going to look at. So it was good to see two regional operators, one South African, one Namibian, being part of the, initially they're part of the sponsorship platform, but ultimately you've got to look at, this is going to be part of these African discussions, these dialogue sessions that will take place, which is key because it will help to identify how best we can go forward, how best we can eliminate said weaknesses and threats and capitalize on said opportunities and strengths. However, let me first take this caller. Evil FM, good evening.
Oh, yes, my broer. Hoe gaat het?
Goedemiddag, Bona.
Je moet wakker, jongen.
Ik is moest wakker.
Je moet wakker. You know, when you are saying je moet wakker, jongen, you must be cut off. You must be vigilant. You must be awake.
I am wakker, Uncle Bona. I am. I'm awake. I'm wide awake.
I for you, you are my professor. You are one of the mentors that when you talk, you guys, I remember the days of Nast in Yunnan.
Mm.
And one can say, so listen, this war trade between between China and America. Is it America? This trade war, one of my best professors was telling me that yes, you see how the Americans are losing the Cold War to the Chinese. So he went on emphasizing about the GDP of America, and that of China, the strength. And then he said, this American GDP, the economy can be crushed within 2 days. By the Chinese. And then I say, why? And then he started explaining about this what is it, this emerging economy, the African pay gas in this country.
Mm.
And then he started saying that apparently most of this country now, especially the Western Africa, of course, there are also those emerging, this strong economy like Kenya and this other one.
Mm.
But you know, we were talking about politics and the economy.
Yeah.
Political economy.
Yeah.
And then he said that in terms of Namibia, yesterday, remember I asked you a question about the talks that Namibia will be the logistic hub.
Mm.
So not only because of the geographical location, but also in terms of stability.
Yeah.
So this afternoon we were talking about political factors, economic factors and social and technological factors, which you mentioned that, yes, we should be in there when you're talking about brand.
Oh, no, brand equity, yeah, brand equity.
Brand equity.
Yeah.
And then I was now thinking, this brand equity, since you're also saying it sounds as if it's a new concept, to me now, it sounded as a new concept. Then I was now trying to understand it from the gender perspective.
Mm.
Remember, gender equality and equity.
Mm.
Now, for me now to contextualize your discussion with this, brand equity.
Yeah.
I was now looking at, does it have to do with accessing the market?
Not
does
really.
Does it have to do with leveling the playing ground? So, how is it the fairness in terms of competition in the market?
Mm.
What is it all about?
Mm.
And then now you went on and talking about the negative and the positive, and then that's when I tend to understand it. Even though I haven't got the really straightforward definition for a layman to understand that thing, brand equity.
It's purely based on perception, Ankabona. It's the perception that you as a listener of Eagle FM have of Eagle FM. It's the perception that you have of the business economic zone, because you get the overall product, Eagle FM, then you get the sub-products, which are the programs.
Yes. You know, Abis, before you go very far, this is exactly how I understood it.
Mm.
And this is how I was now, when I was writing my sentences, when I was looking, I said, okay, this negative perception, this positive one. So, because now, I'm just going to make a very, very, it might be a silly example, kind of.
Mm, don't worry, Uncle Bono. As long as it's not a rude one, but you can make the example.
No. That one is against my ethics.
Okay.
When we brought up in that manner, I'm sorry. Or do we have to be taught?
It's sometimes not far for the human being, Uncle Bono, but yeah. Don't worry. You can make the example.
That's why they are forgetting their culture. They are kidding. So listen, I will try to say, okay. The perception that is created, I'm saying now the negative perception. And because today some of the heavyweight super leaders, they gathered and they were actually trying to re-examine and reflect. They were talking about the perception. The perception people create or have about the brand. Sometimes, I don't know, because you find out that, because for me, I cannot just come out there and start to try to destroy the reputation of the Eagle FM. Or it any other company.
It should be born out of a reaction. Usually, it is born out of a reaction.
Even if, you know, that's why we are saying the reaction shouldn't be negative. It can be positive. Maybe negative reaction.
Mm.
I mean, negative, the whatever.
The interaction itself, yeah.
So now, let's say now you get the negative criticism and all these things, and even information or reputation, destruction and character assassination.
Yeah.
So now, your reaction, because of that response that you are getting from there, or what you are receiving from there should not make you now retaliate and get to that level.
Yeah.
So even if it depends on the reaction, you can come to me and criticize me and shut me and spy and whatever kind of thing, you know.
Mm.
My mother used to tell me, now you are started. It means that you're supposed to be having a kind of a hole, supposed to be having some kind of maybe deformation, physical deformation, you know,
mm.
even though you are deformed psychologically. And they say, where are you wounded? You know, but
yeah.
of course, you know that it's in the heart.
Yeah.
What in conclusion, what I'm saying is that the perception that people create, say, in Swapo, for example, just because of that, those two guys, the relative, the family, who actually crook the system and chop the money, the perception that is created there. And it's not only that, because it's a deliberate kind of perception. We know it's perception, it's misrepresentation, if you know it's even wrong. But we are just doing it for the sake of politics. So the president was addressing the governor of Namibia and the king, the governor of Namibia, and he said he doesn't want to hear again that there's no money in the country.
Well, there is money in the country, Angabwana. Obviously, when people say, and this is an accounting trick, when people say there is no money, it means that there is no extra money for anything extra. The money that is there has been budgeted for.
Hey, the one that is not budgeted for, why can't you then create the one that is not budgeted for?
Because you can't, you cannot just go and create money, Angabwana.
No. You see what, ne? You know, you see, the process of formulating up a budget, you don't just go to the figure. The first step that you should do is to formulate your budget based on the activity. Budget, that's why they call it budget items, activity, whatever they call it, you understand? So you now think about and plan about the activity that you want to implement, the project.
But Angabwana, shouldn't a budget be guided by what income you have, the money you've already collected? I mean, even when you and I, when we do our budgets based upon our salaries, you can predict how much you will earn, and then when it's in the bank, you then start looking at what expenses and what priorities.
Those are the activities. Are the activities that you are going to spend your money.
Exactly.
So when you are budgeting, you now identify the activity that you are going to carry out and say, fine, this activity from 8.1 to A, it's like a project management. From 1.1 to A, so it's going to cost me 2-3 summons or summons.
Yeah.
And within that one, we also say that, okay, instead of spending 5 summons, two or three, let me just spend one.
Yeah.
With the little labor that I'm going to put on the activities. You are actually, you are correct. We are just speaking the same language. What I'm saying is that now, when we now say, for example, there is a gap there, the chain supply, when you talk about the disruption of the supply chain. So maybe you are talking about now tomato, for example. You are talking about onion.
Those things are here in Namibia, Angabwana. We don't feel it. We don't feel it. Because 1 month, the Namibia Agronomic Board says, let's close the month of October for tomatoes, because they are local, they are local producers that can supply. And then they open it at the end of October. But where the supply chain actually gets impacted is for things like your latest cell phones, your latest kinds of other consumer goods. Tomatoes and onions, those things are there every day. Except for avocados.
Why,
I don't know why
people... Why not the avocado?
I don't know why people get very emotional about avocados when they see the prices.
What about the cooking oil?
Yes, that's a good one. Because the cooking oil scenario, what I found out is that South Africa uses a lot of cooking oil, Angabwana, for a lot.
Why can't we do ours? Why can't we add ours? The cotton.
But cotton can be. But cotton can be, it's just a scenario of where.
Yeah, the not is there, Mulukuzi? Are they not consumers? Have you done a marketing survey or research? Because they are needed everywhere, even in the north. Even here, everywhere is needed.
Exactly, exactly. But Angabona, we're heading now to a long ad break.
So let's continue later on.
No problem. And we could be stepping into the short break.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Teumbo no number no wishy Faguja, Omanjirongo, Otuataya Academic Year 2023, Okapatruka, ended in Apa if you record a paparoe, more education, Ukarolong if you got it, Ugufe or health and social science, or show my fano information and communication technology. Or strategic management and leadership, na tay monika no tourism, or show hospitality and event management, business administration, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Where are they? Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po yung biro da IUM, di kulipo pepi. Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu diva, no mompae, ota di monika. Wede rutu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natu natu, oma wedi hamano, inda komesho, kufeto korori rimonjira, toiko mona kui wainerao, pamwena IUM.
Whether you're a fat cookie or a potaiki, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, coming back from our extended break right there, and just where we left off, it's key to note here, guys, that with regards to especially the air travel discussion, or even the challenges that the African destinations face, is the unfortunate scenario that, in most parts, there was an automatic knee-jerk reaction with regards to keeping only vital economic zones of the world connected with each other. Now, before the break, and even before the caller's contribution, I indicated that here in Namibia there will be a specific platform, a specific talking platform with regards to the aviation sector. Ultimately, it will be hosted here in Namibia, that being the Aviation Forum. So it would be nice to see, what most of the key speakers will be indicating, as well as also, because it'll be a 3-day event from 16 to 18 November. Now, as I bring you back to our discussion where we were and where we've been based, even before the COVID-19 pandemic, according to El Houri, he says that there was broad recognition of an urgent need to actually find a way to openly get the African airspace and air transport sector to function on the level that the rest of the world has been functioning. Remember, I indicated to you yesterday, and this is based upon IATA's regional vice president, Alwadi, as well as then also this gentleman, El Houri, who indicated that African airports, African aviation authorities, African airlines are more willing to attract international travelers and international airlines and international economies to them, instead of first talking to each other and attracting each other's business. And I gave you the example of the budget airlines that exist in the UK and in Europe, where you can buy a £10 ticket. Well, it might change now because of the continuous fuel price increases that sector, the aviation sector, is also experiencing, because the CEO of Ryanair, is headquartered, is an Irish regional flight operator there in Europe. The Ryanair CEO himself indicated that the days of a £10 flight ticket, £10 translates to 200 Namibian dollars, is gone. It will be gone, because it would be now at £15 and so forth. But still, way below 1,000 Namibian dollars for air travel. And I gave you the example with the airline, the national air carrier we had at Air Namibia. Between 3,000 to 5,000 was your return ticket, I think, to Cape Town. So ultimately, if it was a one-way, it would have been 2,000 max, depending. So even then, the pricing was still higher than what you would find in Europe. And it was the same distances between Dublin and, let's for example, say Berlin or Frankfurt. Now, between Windhoek and Cape Town, how? It's a good 1,000-something kilometers, because it's the same distance that you find from Windhoek to Cape Town than Windhoek to Katima. It's the same distance. But there's still a lot of talk with regards to that. And even though my discussion last night with regards to the realization for the Africa Free Trade Agreement to become practical, to be realized on the ground, you have to start with the aviation industry first. The countries have to connect each other. Thus, we are generating tourism business for each other. Now, El Houri notes here that 34 countries, and actually that the need was that even before the pandemic, there was broad recognition from the rest of the world in order to try and find a way of getting the African air travel or air transport sector onto the global platform, participating in the global business of the specific key transport component. And the suggestion was through deregulation. Now, he notes that 34 countries, accounting at least for 80% of the African continent's aviation activity, had signed up for the Single African Air Transport Market, which was in 2018. This specific function was in order to open up the Skies Initiative of the African Union. So there was, under some auspices of the AU organization, to try and get this specific sector functioning for the whole continent, for the benefit of the whole continent. He also noted that there was another aim, that Single African Air Transport Market, was also to harmonize the aviation standards, to try and lower air tariffs, to open up Africa to more flights and foreign carriers, and also to boost air cargo competition. Now we know, because of 2020, all that has gone in the reverse. Some airlines have actually been grounded. Some, in our case, have been closed down and, dissolved or wound up. It did give the opportunity to a independent flight operator to start, scaling itself up. Start trying to, be the single recognized Namibian air travel operator. It thus did give it that opportunity. But the aim is not just to have a specific airline only for a country. The aim is to get as more traffic to move over the continent. You see, you want Namibians flying to Zanzibar. You want people from, you want Tanzanians flying to Durban. You want South Africans flying to Luanda. You want Angolans flying to Mombasa. You want Kenyans flying to Addis Ababa. You want Ethiopians flying to, who else can I pick? Kigali. Now, I mention all these markets because these markets are the markets that look economically active and sustainable. I know the Nigerians obviously would want to participate into this discussion because they find themselves there lonesome between all those Francophone or French-speaking countries. And I know it gets lonely there. It's not to knock them, but Nigeria is actually the kind of economy that you want to link up with. We're already linked to the South African economy. We are somewhat partially doing some sort of economic, you know, activity with Angola. And then the other SADC neighbors come along. But it would be fine, it would be awesome to get these SADC operators also linking up with isolated markets like Ghana and Nigeria. Because I've explained to you that the sinister business behind the Francophone countries with regards to the ECOWAS region, that in factual fact, they are artificially supporting the French economy. The Germans didn't like it. The rest of the Europeans didn't like it. Emmanuel Macron, he doesn't care, because this has been a system that has been working for the French economy. They don't care. Now, since I pointed that out to you, you get to understand the geopolitical as well as also the zonal economic situation that some countries find themselves in. Now, Nigeria is on the OPEC Plus. The unfortunate scenario is they and Ghana are the only two Anglophone countries in the ECOWAS region. The others are predominantly Francophone, meaning French-speaking. They are the only two other countries that have English as well as a national language. So they do face certain challenges in their own. But don't get me wrong, guys. They do have healthy, sustainable business activity and economic ties with their neighbors. Even if they are Francophone neighbors, they do have good ties with those countries. There's no bad blood. There might only be, you know, instances of annoyance between each other, but yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens. It's one of the key things where you sometimes understand, for any of you that have been watching your favorite English football, and this is actually something that has been, that I became aware of, all the adverts that you see, when you watch SuperSport and you watch your favorite Man United and so forth, all the adverts that you see are actually meant for the rest of Africa outside of South Africa. If you were in South Africa, you would have seen other adverts. You would not have seen the Guinness stout beer, that beer that they, with a gold label that they keep advertising. You would not have seen JJ Okocha with that betting ad platform ad that he is, where he's busy doing the dance and, you know, indicating his happy tone. No, you wouldn't have seen those ads in South Africa. Now, that already speaks to one kind of business platform that is already reaching the rest of Africa, or predominantly the parts of Africa that can connect into the South African market. You already see it. It's already there. Because I've been constantly asking the question, why am I seeing Nigerian adverts? And I'm sitting in Namibia. Why can't I see adverts right there from Namibian companies geared towards Namibian consumers? Now I've got to watch a beer which I don't know of, which I will not find in my Namibian stores right here. and ask you a key question, because that's the aim of, that's supposed to be the aim of this, you know, AFCT, the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. That's supposed to be the aim. Although it does come from a totally commercial perspective, that's supposed to be the aim. Now, I've got to add in here that if you're going to have increased air travel taking place in the market, you're going to have more flights, cheaper flight tickets, more people moving about. Now, obviously, another question comes to mind. You know, wherein you yourself would ask, how many Namibians would be able to participate in flying all across the continent if, let's for example say, a flight ticket from Namibia to Ethiopia cost you 500 Namibian dollars. How many Namibians would take the chance to fly on that route? Let's for example say it is the local Namibian operator, Airlink, and they fly to Addis. How many Namibians would buy that ticket? Well, that's now firstly to say that, you know, Ethiopia has cooled down in terms of their own political and civil situation. That's now working under another hypothetical scenario. So let's work on under that principle that, you know, it has calmed down and there are Namibians that want to see what Addis Ababa looks like, or they want to tour in Ethiopia. I don't know. The question that you'll first ask is, would Ethiopia be a tourism market for Namibians? Because Namibians will then just tell you, then if the same ticket cost 500 Namibian dollars to Durban, South Africa, I would rather go to Durban. Or if the same ticket cost, if the same flight was then extended, let's say for example to Zanzibar, and it cost the same, they would rather say, I'll go to Zanzibar. I've never been to Zanzibar. I want to see Zanzibar. And then vice versa, you start seeing that local tourism markets helping the local industries of each country on the continent. And as I mentioned to you, I deliberately went SADC East Africa up. I did not go West Africa up. I didn't go past Angola. I did not go past Angola. And I'm not including DRC, because DRC is a pretty big country. So I didn't go up here into Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, Guinea-Bissau. I didn't go up here. Because if you work from SADC East Africa, there is already a major South African business presence there, into Kenya. It's already there. So if there is one country that is actually capitalizing on the principles of the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, it's already the South Africans. They're already in play. So the same principle then flows over into the single African air transport market, which is a similar template to what North America has, South America has, the Middle East with Asia, with the rest of Asia, the European market has, because they've got small flight operators. They do have these small flight operators that can give you 300, 400 Namibian dollar ticket prices. Now, obviously, this single African air transport market, and that's key to note here, is actually to entice the private sector to get involved in air travel. It is. That European flight operator that I mentioned, Ryanair, their CEO, who's the owner and the founder of the organization, the man is a billionaire. Now the question is to you, how much does a plane cost now? How much does a plane, and I'm not talking about a Cessna, I'm talking about a fully, you know, a plane that can carry at least a good 50 to 60 people. 50 to 60 people. Imagine it as a flying bus. A flying city of Windhoek bus. And that's, you know, that amount of people. How much do those planes cost? Planes cost a lot of money. Then you need to find the pilots. And one of the surprising things is here in Namibia is our pilots are people that have they go and train to be pilots, right? They pay the severe training costs. I call it severe because it's a lot of money. Plus the requirements that they've got to stick to is another level of severeness or severity. And on top of that, they need to work an 8 to 5 job because they're not even guaranteed that they will find a job as a pilot in Namibia. Now, there would be obvious potential in terms of skills development. There would be obvious potential. The other question is the obvious is the potential to have multiple market operators. Multiple market operators. You see, once again, I get back to the transport question here locally. Locally. I indicated to you, you know, why does in the city of Windhoek, the capital of Windhoek, why don't you have a public transport system, i.e. the buses, serving every corner of the capital? Why does it only work in a linear direction? Why only from... It needs to transport people from the furthest parts of the western suburbs and also informal settlements of Windhoek, i.e. Karatura and all of the informal settlements and Kommersdal, into the rest of the capital, heading eastwards. Why don't you have a system that works that people who clearly would need a bus ride, who don't want to take a taxi, who don't want to pay $24, but would like to take a quick bus ride from, let's say, Kommersdal to Kleine Cooper, from Kleine Cooper to Avis, from Avis to Eros, from Eros to the Northern Industrial. And so it goes on. It works in a circuit. Obviously, someone from the public transport sector would come and say, yeah, but it does work in a circuit scenario. Yeah, but the observation doesn't justify the circuit scenario that would exist. Now, it's the same principle then that you'd have to look at locally in terms of air travel. How many Namibians will rather pay $1,000 to fly from Windhoek to Ndangwa, to the airport there? From Windhoek to Walvis? From Windhoek to Lüderitz? I think Lüderitz has an airport. I think. How many Namibians? Or from Windhoek to Gbabis? But I don't know if Gbabis has an airport. You see, the whole discussion is, if you're going to bring in, and if you want to boost something and to ensure that there is enough carrying capacity, it should be so strong in its foundations, the sector. It should be so strong in its foundations that even if another COVID pandemic pops up, people will still be able to say, yes, I would like to support a flight operator to fly from Windhoek to Ndangwa, from Windhoek to Lüderitz, from Windhoek to Walvis, and to fly in the region. So they would still say, yes, I would like to pay that $500 and fly to Durban for a quick holiday, for a weekend getaway, to fly from Windhoek to Zanzibar for $1,000, to fly from Windhoek to Addis Ababa for $1,500. Right now, consumers are price sensitive. Obviously, the idea behind what El Houri is indicating, this gentleman that indicated this his take here in the World Economic Forum platform, is that the participation of the private sector will automatically, in terms of competition and the market principles, will automatically provide lower pricing for a consumer. It doesn't always work that way. It doesn't. It doesn't actually materialize in that manner. Currently, right now, I'm telling you, there are people who are questioning whether or not they should start riding bicycles because the petrol price is going to go skyward. You still have to factor that in to your mind. And that specific same fuel is what planes use. So another form of hemorrhaging will take place. This, i.e., fuel costs for airlines. Now, the opportunity is not, I won't say sound, neither is it healthy enough in terms of taking a look and trying to connect various African markets with each other. But you have to start somewhere, unfortunately. You can't wait until Leti comes home. That's just an expression that, you know, that we've got in Afrikaans. Yeah, when someone asks you when you're going to do this and you say when, until Leti comes, we don't know who Leti is and we don't know when she would come. But the expression exists. So this does mean that you've unfortunately got to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. Now I'll indicate to you that some parts of the African continent, and this has been coming out with various reports that I've had to observe and scour through, is that there is some form of insulation that the African continent enjoys from the Ukraine conflict. The only African countries and economies that are actually exposed directly with direct implications that they suffer on a daily basis are countries like Kenya, Egypt, Tunisia, and Libya. And probably South Africa with regards to its sunflower oil production, its various platforms where it implements and makes use of sunflower oil in most of the products that we already consume and buy here on our shelves. The biggest impact has been the sanctions on Russian oil, which impacts decision making from the OPEC Plus organization. That is what everyone universally is feeling. That is what anyone universally is actually unhappy about. That's it. That is it. Sorry. The Ukraine conflict obviously involves two actors. The impacts that I meant with regards to Egypt and Kenya and Tunisia and Libya are from what they get from Ukraine, not from Russia. What they get from Ukraine. But air travel. Unfortunately, there's another fear that I've got to highlight. This is something that I actually agree with El Houri, and this is with regards to a development imperative. Now, just to end off on this note for the last 2 minutes, he notes that while commercial aviation's economic footprint and impact is enormous, the sector's growth-spurring potential in Africa is largely untapped. So, this means development or rapid development needs to be installed. A study that was done found that commercial aviation contributed at least $63 billion to African GDP in 2019, where only about a third of what it added to GDP in Latin America and the Caribbean, a region with just 58% of the of our continent's population. He indicates that in Europe, North America, Asia, and the Middle East, the rise of low-cost carriers has boosted passenger traffic, flights, connections, carrier choices, and cargo volumes. Competition has thus lowered ticket prices and also democratized air travel. So in terms of the competition element or the market dynamics It's totally democratic in terms of you as a consumer can pick which air carrier you want to travel with, because there's competition for service delivery in Europe, North America, Asia, and the Middle East. But we don't have that. We've got 55 countries who still need to try and align.
Omia no hambo mbari vyo kukwiviko uthemba wukukara nehi mehira kamwaha. Obo mkwati na wana mibia nungu mwango kulicha ngitha kuthemba wuhi mwamatuli do wakamwaha pochiako na kuchosha uthoku ngolero minge erari. O ministri hiyo tutu mbono viku nwa omewa no matu nino wehi, maichi viso mkwati la wana mibia auhe, nui imbambe tuli ya mwama hiwa kamwaha, okulilo ngerera omyano hambo mbali okumuna hilo matulilo motu kondwa vekale oshako veta yo matu nino wehi, raka mwaha poro shiwa ngungu, oveto isha tano yomburo manyobieva lino milongo yuwa lina mbali. Omwano mutenga, tushivitha ehindi modeli okutuulungira mothoro mana poro rata yoshirongo, ngumakura mene pohona pare wombadhu mwodondende rando, Shito wachiri kukusha omurara ngandawe ye operi mwanduwa thane no yehi mape utile na pumapea ndere hiloe. Omwano usha bali, sangamo rutu romachitiro wa mani ngido wa uthe mbao kumune. Thutodo ndola dhana mibio mirongo iwa lina ndano kuhona pale wambadhu dhorutu romachitiro wa mani ngido nupewe oshira ifirosho mathu tiro. Wedhako rutu rokudha kuhona pale wambadhu oshiari ifirosho kusha wathutu nochi herengurua shoka urukonji ukiro po o paspota. Po mpapira yonko atero nu ya njako mshangere po wachira tashehi podo mbero dhoru kondwa. Otutu toma ningirilo tuli podo mbero odombadhu na po ministri yopopedhu na ove. Omwano usha tatu, oba ungule wa ministri yotutu mbono vikunwa, omeba no mathuri no wehi moru kondoro ye mabe katara lukua mwama ningirilo woye noku kareke na ehiro yendo. Othoro mana po rata yoshirongo, obo mwini no murara ngandangu no uthe mba wehi vathero kukarapo. Indu chimape katale wa koma ningiro wei. Omwano usha ine, oma ningiro wei maeshu kifi wako uleo. Womayuba hambo mbali potuwewe toma anjero. Wenji vithiro kutara kukusha pena mbeno umune walwe mwishinashu eho. Omwano usha tano, uchirata choma hii murukondwa wei. Machi haamu kutara mwama ningiro wei oshako veta yomatu nino wehi. Ede balo olisha tano, mwaveta yomburwa omayubie balina mbali. Omwano usha hambo umwe, oma ningiro wei siya akurwa. Oshimo pewa oruturo uthe mbao kukarane hii na lihindua kombero yohona paliwa mbadhu kukusha ruhindwe kove. Omwano uche hambo mbali, ombapiro iche hambo ndatu mwodo mbapira ndo murongo, maiku ningile kusha injo uye kuhuthe upalitha onjibi filo njiri yomo oruturo ye, futodo ndola dhana mibi yomirongo vitano dho kukatora oruturumbi podombero dhohona paliwa mbadhu. Dhemburuka kusha, ehiro ye ori ya bedhoroe, sitoma ningile ondino kukusha uri shangifu. Wodo programa dome kulitiro wehi rochiwa ngungu nongwithi kilo kudako horomendi ya Namibia urwano romahi wa Europa no maungulilo wakumwe kweno horomendi ye hilo bandu eisho kutulungira mwambanga yome kulitiro ye hilo bandu eishi kujivitiro wako murungu hakaena kweno rupa romapititiro wodombude the ministry podono moranda onoro hambo umwe no imwe
ombali ouliri hambo datu hambo bali omuvyo ombali omuvyo.